I'm Pastor Dave, pastor here at Gospel Life Church, and just want to welcome you. Thank you for being here this Easter morning. I had Vaughn Jones, he's one of our elders here at the church, read the resurrection story given to us by the Gospel of Mark, which is probably the shortest version of it and most straightforward if you look at all the resurrection accounts in the Gospels. But that's why we're here today, to celebrate Easter, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now, that passage that he read started with Jesus being buried after he had died on a cross. And that's what we celebrated this past Friday in what we call Good Friday. And if you haven't been here for the past month, I've been taking each Sunday and talking about the cross of Jesus Christ and what took place when Jesus died on that cross. And if you don't know much about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and why that's significant, I'd encourage you to go on our YouTube channel or go on our website and listen to some of those messages. But then, after Jesus is buried in Mark 16, we move to the moment that Jesus rose from the dead, something that was quite unexpected. The passage ends with them in verse 8, trembling in astonishment, had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. They were surprised that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, it would take any of us a little bit off guard, right? If you went to someone's funeral, and then 3 days later, they're walking around downtown, and you saw them. I mean, that you'd probably do a double take, probably be a little scared, and probably be a little bit astonished, just like these disciples were. The Bible has a lot to say about the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a central idea to understanding the message of the Bible. As a matter of fact, I'd say this, that there are two central events that are key to understanding Christianity. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross and all that took place there. And then why we're here this morning and what we're celebrating together, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people, of course, debate whether this actually took place, whether Jesus really did rise from the dead. And I'm not going to defend that this morning. There are much smarter people out there on YouTube and other places that would make a very good defense historically why this took place. But I'm going to say this, that if you call yourself a Christian this morning, then you have to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Because the main book that teaches us about Christianity, which is the Bible, what I have here and what is available in the pew in front of you, those black books, teaches us about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, and his resurrection as fact. And in the early church, those who were closest to the time of Jesus, they stake their very lives on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, and they were willing to die for that belief. So you cannot be a Christian according to the Bible, according to the book that tells us all about what it means to be a Christian, and deny that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 4, a book of the Bible, says this, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Now, what's considered of first importance to Christianity? That Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and lastly, what's it say? That he was raised on the third day. That's the resurrection, being raised on the third day. It's essential. It's of first importance of the message of Christianity. Now, there's a lot of reasons why it is of first importance, why Easter matters, as we advertise in the community, as we invited people with our little cards. Easter matters. Why is that the case? But today, I just want to look at two very briefly. There's a lot of reasons, but two very briefly this morning. Easter matters. The fact that Jesus Christ physically rose from the dead matters for two important reasons this morning. The first is this: because Jesus rose from the dead, he imparts life to those who die in Christ. Let me say that again. Because Jesus rose from the dead, he imparts life to those who die in Christ. Jesus did the impossible. He died, and then he rose again. He defeated the greatest enemy of life that there is, death. And as one who has died and risen to new life, he then can lead others through and guide us to new life. He's gone before us. He has died before us and risen to new life before us. It's helpful to have someone know where you're going, right? And lead you where you need to be. I remember my wife and I, when we were first married, we moved to an island out of the country called St. Vincent. We were young, we were in a new place, we didn't have a car. We had to go downtown. And I remember the first time I ever rode a bus. Their buses are kind of like those Toyota minivans that are a little bit bigger, you know, that you see in other countries, if you ever know what I'm talking about. And so I just remember the first time I rode one of those buses, we're going along, and it magically would always stop wherever someone needed to go. But nobody communicated. There was no, like, you know, thing that you would pull, or I didn't see anyone signal. And I was trying to figure out, how do they know where to stop? How do they do these things? And so when we had someone who, finally I learned the system, and here's the trick. If you ever go down to the Caribbean, at least in the British West Indies, that's where we were, they slowly hand money up by the time the next stop. So he gets the money and he knows to stop. But I couldn't see that taking place. We were like, what in the world? But anyways, the first time we went downtown, which is a massive difficulty of just all these buses that are going all over the, and there's no signs. You just know it's this spot takes you eventually to this place and this. We had to have someone go ahead of us and tell us, okay, here's how you learn the ropes. Here's how it goes through. And it's a dumb illustration, I'll be the first to admit, to explain that Jesus, in a sense, has gone before us to help us and to get us through the most crazy thing in the world, to be resurrected from the dead. That's how the scriptures present it. That's why it calls in the scriptures Jesus the first fruits of those who will rise. He goes before us and guides us through. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says this: if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Now notice in this passage the connection between Jesus being raised from the dead, what we're celebrating, and our future hope of being raised from the dead if we are in Christ. We will have life to our mortal bodies, it says in that verse, through the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And of course, the first part is so vitally important. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's the key. The spirit of God must dwell in you. To have the hope of a future resurrection, the spirit who raised Jesus from the dead has to dwell in you. You will not rise from the dead to eternal life if you do not have the spirit of Christ in you. That's what that verse is saying. Well, how do you get the spirit of Christ in you? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14 says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, here it is, and believed in him. Just what Andy was talking about in that testimony that you heard. We're sealed. So if this happens, if you hear the word, the gospel, and believe in him, in Christ, what happens? We're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, the very spirit it's talked about in Romans 8. who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The sealing of the promise of the Holy Spirit there comes when one believes in Christ, when one comes to the Lord in saving faith. Trust fully in him for salvation, not in your works, not in your righteousness, not in a church, not in a pope or a pastor, but solely in Christ. As we think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ today, we're reminded that because Jesus rose from the dead, he then imparts new life to those who die in Christ. That's the hopeful reason for Christ's resurrection this morning. The next is more of a warning reason. Secondly, because Jesus rose from the dead, he is coming back to judge the world. He is coming back to judge the world. If it is true, if the Bible is true, and this important fact about Christianity is true, that Jesus rose from the dead, then the Bible reminds us that his resurrection guaranteed his return. A return to this earth at the end of time that will be characterized by judgment. Because Jesus didn't stay in the grave but rose to new life and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, he is coming one day. He's coming back one day to judge the world. Listen to this in the book of Acts. This is one of the first early messages we have in Acts by the Apostle Paul. It says, "The times of ignorance God overlooked," Acts 17, 30 through 31. "But now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he's given assurance to all," how? "By raising him from the dead." Notice, God has fixed a day, if you look at that verse, to judge the world by a man who's he's appointed. Now, who is that man in this verse? Well, the end of the passage. It's the one that he raised from the dead, Jesus. The fact that God raised Jesus from the dead seals the deal, as it were. It's going to happen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "I charge you therefore in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who's to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom." Notice that. Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. When we think about Easter, we usually associate it with new life, right? I mean, that makes sense. It's springtime. Yesterday was like summer. We kind of skipped to summer. We've done that a lot this year. Have you noticed with the weather? It's like all of a sudden fall's here. You know, all of a sudden winter's here. Well, we still have spring. And we associate new life with spring. Flowers are starting to bloom. And of course, his resurrection brings the hope of life. But don't miss it. The resurrection day we celebrate also brings with it an important reminder that one day Jesus is returning. And when he comes back, what will he do? Well, the first part that I talked about, he'll give new life to those who are in Christ. But secondly, he will judge those who are not in Christ. In this sense, we'll all be resurrected, but we'll all be resurrected to one of two places. And Jesus talks about this in John 5, John chapter 5, verse 28 through 29. He says, "Do not marvel at this." This is Jesus speaking. "For an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out." That's resurrection language, right? Who comes out of tombs? Dead people. Now alive, right? And they're going to come out. And what does he say? "Those who have done good to the resurrection of life," the hope that I talked about in the first part of this message. "And secondly, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." Two types of resurrection, one to life and the other to judgment. This is why going back to Acts 17, where Paul's preaching, it's so important, because he calls the listeners to repent. And that is our call. That is how we escape the resurrection of judgment, is to repent. God calls all people everywhere, including you and I, to repent. Repent of what? Our sin. What's sin? Well, the very fact that you don't acknowledge God for who he really is all the time. The God who not only creates and rules in this world, but deserves my honor. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, let me ask you, have you done that all the time, every day, this morning? How about just this morning when you were rushing and yelling at one another to find your hair curler or whatever you, I don't know what you do. Blow dryer, I guess maybe some guys do that. I don't know. Were you loving the Lord God the whole time? Which is the greatest commandment of all? We have all fallen short of what God's called us to do, and therefore our call is to repent and trust in what Christ has done on behalf. These are the ones who escape the judgment of the future. This is how you know when Christ comes back that you will be part of those to the new life, the resurrection to life, and not the resurrection to judgment. I would hate for anyone in here to only experience the future judgment that's guaranteed to happen because, don't miss it, Jesus rose from the dead. So today is a day of hope, but it's also a day of warning. Which one will it be for you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and your truth. I do pray that we'd be sensitive to the word of God and take seriously what the resurrection of Christ means. Those that do know you, it's a great day of rejoicing. Those that don't know you, Lord, may it be a great day of warning. You're coming back to bring life to those who are in Christ, but also judgment to those who don't know you. Lord, may every single one of us in here be assured of the fact that we know it'll be a resurrection to life when we die. Thank you for the resurrection of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.